audience. Are we on there, Nate? We do want to welcome you. If you don't have your Bibles, grab them. If you don't have note-taking paper and pencil, get it. We believe that the message the Lord has for here is for you, so we welcome. I'm going to need some extra encouragement in my ministry, so, you know, after yesterday's setback, I got out my little fan for my wife to just kind of fan me, and this is what she uses at home. I'm still a hot babe. It just comes in flashes. So honey, if you would just keep me cool over there, I see you're on task, so we'll put it on her seat. Jackie, would you mind hanging on to that till she comes down? Amen. Pastor Mike, myself, Tony, you like the front or the back look? You like the back. Okay, all right. So, anyway, and those that don't go here, that's watching, you'll have to figure it out. So, amen. For those that do have your Bibles, and we're challenging you to be students of the Word and to study, we're in Luke 10. And for us that understand the layout, the old covenant was laid out in preparation for Jesus' coming to set us free. When he comes on the scene, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he transitions us from the old covenant to the new covenant in which we live today. Most of his 3 years of ministry at 30 to 33 had to do with preaching to the Jewish people, but it was also for our benefit to hear, because all Scripture is inspired by God. Amen? So I'm in Luke now, but I want you to see why the Lord says what he says, because I've really been focusing on the red letter. And I'm going to begin at verse 1, and this is Jesus about to commission 70. Now let me put it in context. The Holy Ghost has not been released to live into people yet, because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross. But we know the Holy Ghost was in Jesus. Amen? So that's why we have to focus on what he's trying to get across to the Jewish people, which also today we've been grafted in. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others, or disciples, and he sent them out two by two, and he said to go into every city and place where he himself is about to go. In other words, he was sending out the 70, but only to places where he was preparing to go. Then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers or the workers, therefore, are few, and we need to pray that the Lord of the harvest, Jesus, will send out more laborers into the harvest. Also, go your way. Behold, I'm going to send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money or knapsack nor sandals. Greet no one along the road, but wherever or whatever house you enter, say peace to the house. And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it's going to return to you. Remain in the same house, eating, drinking what they provide, for you are worthy of your wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what they feed you. Heal the sick and say to them, and this is very important, he was prepping for the new covenant. He says, tell them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Now, the kingdom of God came near them because he released that upon these 70. And he goes on, he says this in 10, whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city, which things to us we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. All right, everybody look at me. Now, let's go to the Lord's Prayer. Jesus transitioned, teaching the Jews how to pray. Now, had he gone to the cross yet?
No.
Had he released the kingdom?
No.
So he picks up and he says, pray this way, our Father who art in heaven, holy is his name. And he goes on, he says, thy kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. So in other words, he's having the Jews pray that this kingdom would come as it's already going on in heaven. Amen? Here he says the kingdom of God is coming near you. Now, he also tells them in Luke, he says there's going to be many after I'm gone that are going to say, the kingdom is here, the kingdom is there. But he says, when the kingdom comes, it's going to be located where?
In you.
In you. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost when Jesus says, don't do anything until you get endued with power. So you need to realize, when we're looking at this, we have very few labors. We got 70 at best. Fast forward to the day of Pentecost, we got 120. And then fast forward a couple days later, we got 3,000.
Right.
So in other words, we're part of the millions now that have come to receive the kingdom. So wherever we go, the kingdom of heaven goes with us. Because the kingdom of heaven is within us. So if we can get that understanding, so we don't have to pray that the kingdom come. It's come. And it's been already released. It's not taking anything away from the Lord's Prayer. You can pray that because he taught the Jews. But I'm telling you, the kingdom has come. And it's located within us. Which means we have everything that pertains to life and godliness within us to help us, now listen, grow up and mature. His mission was to teach his disciples to grow up and to mature. Now, when you got saved, you got everything you needed, every vital part, it called to grow up and to stabilize. A lot of believers don't think that. They think, if I could only get as spiritual as Pastor Weldon, if I could just, you have got everything I've got, because it came in the kingdom that came with the Holy Ghost. You've got the Holy Ghost. When you get saved, you don't get a baby Holy Ghost. You get the full package. Now, what you do with the Holy Ghost, as far as getting his help, to help you grow up, is on you. And I want to set it in context before we go any further, because this morning I'm talking about maintaining our growth. When Jesus was training up a mighty warrior, we know him as Joshua, and Moses is about ready to depart. And we pick up in Joshua 1. You don't need to turn to it. I don't even remember if I gave you this in the scripture. But this puts it in context. The Bible says, the word of God should not depart from your mouth. You should think on it day and night, that you may observe to do what is written in it. When did we get everything that pertains to life and godliness? When we got saved. But he doesn't force us to get in there and to see what we got. It's called his last will and testimony. If we do, it says, if we will think on it and observe to do what's written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success.
Right.
See, the Lord's already given us everything, but if we are not choosing to take the principles that he's given us and use them, then we aren't going to cause ourselves to succeed. Doesn't mean we don't go to heaven. Going to heaven, the only qualifier is we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. But you know there are a whole lot of Christians that are saved, and they've stayed just content with being saved. And they stay, as we call them, babies. It's not a criticism, it's the reality. If you're a baby, then we need to grow up. Now, I'm going into the new covenant. Stay with me, because it's going to have everything to do with what you already have and how you're going to maintain what you already have as you grow up and get stronger. 1 Corinthians 13, we always love that because it's a love chapter that Paul's trying to address how important it is for those confused Christians in Corinth to realize you can have faith move mountains, but if you're not operating in love, you're just noise. But he doesn't stop there. He finishes it after he challenges us to believe that love does everything. It believes the best. He finishes it by saying this in 1 Corinthians 13:11. When you were a child, you spoke like a child, you understood like a child, you thought like a child. When you grow up, you put away foolish things. Look at me, church. There's a whole lot of Christians still cussing and swearing and addicted and mean-spirited. They are already saved. They already know the Lord, but they're still acting like a child.
Amen.
We are not going to win the world because they're watching us by acting like idiots. Forgive me, Facebook followers, but I'm telling you, church, he wants us to grow up and not be children anymore, tossed to and fro, doing stupid stuff. Church, when you were a child, did you care about anybody but yourself? You had to be a real rare child if you were. You at Christmas weren't thinking as a little child, I wonder how many gifts mom and dad are going to get. I wonder if when I have my summer vacation, if mom and dad are just going to enjoy it. No, we're selfish. It's all about us. We're not even thinking about anybody else but ourselves. That's the heart of a child that God wanted to grow up. And that's why Paul was so hard on the Corinthians, because they acted like kids. And he's telling them, you shouldn't be a child anymore. You should put away the childish things. Sadly, because a lot of Christians aren't taught what they already own, they never get strong in these areas. But that doesn't mean it's too late. Wherever your walk is, the Lord wants you to be strengthened and then maintain. Let me give you an idea. When somebody maintains, I looked this up, and see what the dictionary of the Bible dictionary would say about it. It says maintenance. And I'm talking about today maintaining your growth. And if you're still a baby, growing and maintaining there. It's the process of maintaining or preserving someone or something. It's the state of being maintained. It's the process of keeping something in good condition. Now, I read that out of Joshua. Who's responsible in keeping anything into good condition?
We are.
And who we surround ourselves with. So, let me ask you. When I was in, all as a teenager, I worked every extra job I could get. Because my drive at that point was to have a, what we called a muscle car. I wanted this 440 Super B6 pack, over 400 horsepower, and I raised calves, I milked cows, I plowed fields, and my dad paid me $1 an hour. I was getting real rich real fast. And I put everything in the bank, and I saved, because that was my desire. And then when I got the car, church, my dad even talked me in as a teenager. He said, well, if you get this, you got to trade in. I had a 350 Kawasaki that was real. I used to race it quarter mile. He says, the deal is I'll let you get this, but you got to trade in your motorcycle. No problem. So I get this big, beautiful orange and black Super B six-pack. Was I content? No. I polished this thing until you almost made it dull from polish. I put Doug headers on it, which you probably don't understand, but that was something to bring out a little bit more horsepower. I put different size of tires. I had SS Krager mags that really made it pop. I loved that car. And I used to give her kids, she's the oldest of all her brothers and sisters, so they'd get in back, and they would think they were in a jet plane because I'd get on it. And they, as kids, oh my gosh, they would be thrilled. But I kept that thing polished. I kept the oil changed. Sunoco had, I think it was 260 gas. I had to take the top gas, and I got about 5 or 6 miles a gallon. It didn't matter. I'm not going far, just going to cruise. My wife, she was now a senior. I'm in college, and she's a cheerleader. And we're playing our rival team, Niles. And our colors are orange and black. She says, honey, we cheerleaders want to take your car to the game, the rival game. We want to drive it in. I said, no way. give me some more fan, would you? No way, I'm not going to get stones thrown at my car. But what I'm telling you is, because it was significantly important to me, I took very good care of it. I even made it even stronger and better. I'm telling you, that's what the Lord looks for us, to not just get through life, but to be the best person we can be. My wife used to get on my case. She says, you love yourself. I says, I do love myself. Not that I think I'm better than anybody else, but I love myself. Bible says, love your enemies like yourself. I can love my enemies because I love myself. Most people can't love their enemies because they don't love themselves. I'm not thinking more highly. I'm just thinking God does not make accidents, and you should be the best you can possibly be. So I'm not just looking on getting through life. I want to be the best welder I can be. Someone says, you're addicted to working out. No, I got this pattern I've done all my life. I'm not addicted. My wife knows, very little time, but I do have regular times because this is the house of the Holy Ghost. I want to be able to dance. I want to be able to do the things I did. Only the world tells you you can't, but my God says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So I'm not going to stay. When we were 24 and 25, we got so hit with the Holy Ghost, we did whatever we could to stay healthier and strong. We didn't, last resort, wait till we start getting sick. So what I'm saying is you maintain what you got and you look to enhance it because you care. If we could only transition that into maintain this walk with the Lord, why does Pastor challenge you to read your Bible? And I've got some of you that's told me you're having Bible studies and you're reading your word now regularly. Thank you, Jesus. It's not because I'm thanking you because you followed what I said. I know it will make your life stronger and you'll maintain. Some of you don't miss Bible studies because look at me, church. It's you can't get on a Sunday what you can get on interaction with believers that are going to tell you the truth, that are going to grow you up. Amen. And get you stronger. That's why God says fellowship. And prayer and praise is just a given. We are created to worship God. Pray unceasingly. Pray without it. It's not a religion where I go and fall on my knees. No, I'm talking to God all the time. God, what am I? I'm going facing this. What do you want me to do? It becomes a way of life. How do you learn stuff like that? You're around others. They keep you encouraged. Yes, sir. When the Lord says the laborers are few, we should have no few in this church because you're growing up and getting stronger. You should be a blessing to your community. You should be a blessing where you work. You should be the best, hardest working people around. Amen. You should be the friendliest neighbors. Why? Because everywhere you go, the kingdom is within. And you're not selfish thinking of yourself. Well, I don't care who I hurt or whatever. You should care because it's about the kingdom. You're going to heaven. How about us take some others? And you know how others want to go where we go? Is they fall in love with us. I'm a big proponent of relationship building because I told Pastor Mike, the only reason people stay in a work isn't because the word is the best. That helps. It's not because we pray for you all and worship God. That's good. It's not because it's the right thing to do, although it is the right thing to do. If you would be honest, you that are still with us after a long haul, it's because you fell in love with these brothers and sisters, and you look forward to seeing them, and you enjoy the relationship that's been established, and that's exactly what Jesus said would be important. We become who we hang with. If you hang with doubt, and I'm sorry if you got biological families that are negative and down and out, and they're saying, spilling all this junk, you will become like that. Well, but I got God in me. You do. So you don't have to be like that. You start hanging with the right ones who will encourage you and cause you to be all you can be, and you're going to have to yield your way sometimes because you know in part and you prophesy in part, but the whole body of Christ has the parts, and we become whole when we put it together. I have to have brothers and sisters in my life that will tell me the truth. That's why we have meetings every Monday. How can we get better? How can we do? We believe what's going on here should break forth. We're praying. We got more pastors hooking up in our monthly prayer. We think the whole church of Saginaw, the pastors should be connected. It's not about Shield of Faith or the first church or the second church. It's about the body of Christ. Amen. And there's only one. We're a part of it, but we're all part of a body of Christ. Amen. So we want to be the best because you know what happens? People see what you do and they call me and say, I thought they went to your church. And I like to be proud and say they do because of what you're doing is good and setting an excellent example for God's kingdom. Amen? Amen? So, we're growing up. This is what Paul said to Timothy. Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness profits in all areas. Now, let me tell you this. It's when people read that, they think, oh, see, exercise isn't even important. It's just a little bit. That's not what he's saying. He says godliness. How are you acting godly if you're not taking care of the temple? You are the temple of who? Holy Ghost. That's how we show, but how do we do that? We encourage one another. Pastor Mike has a wellness group. Now let me just tell you this. Part of what he tries to do is get people to this goal to feel better about themselves and be healthy. And then he has to transition them to a place where they stay there. Or else we fall into the trap called diet. Diet is a curse word to me because it's setting people up to be disappointed. When you go on a diet, you get to a certain place and you're so happy and you go back to the way it used to be and you bloom back up, you're sometimes bigger, and you're more unhealthy. What I'm saying is we need each other to be for a check and balance so we can maintain what we got. You don't tie anybody's hands. They don't have to come and learn how they can get better and how they can get stronger. But I don't know about you, but I want to maintain what I have, and I don't want to lose ground. Because if when you care about what you got, and I don't know about you, but we live in America. What a nation. One nation under God. It still is. I'm so excited. I get so stirred with so much. Kanye West right now is preaching Joel Osteen's church, and he's winning thousands in the jails, and we pray for him. Well, I thought he was this way then. God is changing the hardest hearts, and they're the easiest to reach those they can't be reached. And because he doesn't fit the norm. Oh, because he likes somebody that most people in the culture don't like. They're ostracizing him. They're calling him names, and yet all he's doing is saying, I'm born again now, and I'm preaching the gospel. And he's in there sharing, and he's rapping. If you have issues with rapping, I'm telling you what, rapping's going to reach some that you can't reach and I can't reach. Whatever tool God's going to use by saving people, if our issue is growing up and letting them be reached, aren't we excited that he saves the hardest cases? Amen. I am. That makes my life excited. Oh, my gosh, honey, look at this. They showed excerpts of him preaching to the jailers and telling them to get out of your box. You were raised this way. Quit thinking stupid. Quick, don't you know they're killing our babies? Don't. And I'm thinking, it's so obvious, but when they get enlightened, oh my gosh, Kanye West, they're saying everywhere he goes. I watched some Catholic priests, which bless me, they're not any longer. I think they're going to get married, but to say, oh my gosh, I went into these meetings and I was so stirred, I felt alive. And I'm thinking, when the presence of the Lord gets off of us, it doesn't matter where we're at, people feel excited. When we get together and we get excited about the things of God, we should excite those around us. Amen. And trust me, they used to tell me when we first got baptized in the Holy Ghost, yeah, let's put those people in a room and keep them out because, you know, they're going to turn people off. I'm saying people are already turned off. Yeah. We need someone turned on. Amen. I tell people they can feel the Holy Ghost and they get excited. Keep it up. Keep going for it. We need you. And our goal is to pray for people like Kanye West, that he continuously stays stirred and he doesn't get beat down by the soothsayers and all them that want him to think their way that's depressing and it's down and out and it's killing good people. Amen. Thank God for those who are standing up to truth and staying surrounded with wise counsel. So, you're all with me. Turn, if you would, to the key four areas that the Lord gave the brand new church how to grow up and then maintain. I'm in Acts, New Testament birthing. Upper room, Holy Ghost poured out. Jesus is not on the cross. Jesus is no longer in the grave. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding on behalf of us, but he didn't leave us orphans. He sent us the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, not only to be with us, but to live in us. How can we lose? To us, death is just graduation day. To be dead in this body, I'm with the Lord, man. Don't grieve over if the Lord says my time is done. I'm excited. Not to die, but I'm excited every day of my life. Because it's not about just today. It's about what's happening to you guys and those around our lives. Keep up the good work, body. This is what Jesus said. Wait until you get endued. Holy Ghost gets poured out. My caption says a vital church now grows. Verse 40. Acts 2, New Testament, birth in the upper room. Here we are. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them. This is Peter now, saying, be saved. Come out of that perverse generation. And then those who received the word, that's what's happening in these services Kanye's doing in the jail and all around, there were 3,000 individuals that got saved. Look at me, church. Every one of those 3,000 immediately got the Holy Ghost. They got everything that pertained to life and godliness. They no longer had to sit down and think of every sin they ever did. It was all nailed to the cross, and they're forgiven. Sure, it's healthy to forgive if we hurt. We should be the best forgiving people possible. You know why? Because of what he did for us. But God has forgiven you even when you do the most stupid things. He still forgives you. He's not going to go to the cross again. But it's healthy for us to realize it's not him that keeps us in this state. We keep ourselves in that. He became poor that we'd be rich. He sent his word. He healed us. We have a role to play to find out what's ours and to plant those seeds. All right, so here we are. 3,000 saved, brand new. Now, we're part of a million since then. They continued. Here's the layout. They continued. Those 3,000 kept doing four things to grow and to maintain. Number one, they stayed in the Word of God. Yours may say apostles' doctrine because they did not have the written Word at that time. They had the Old Testament manuscripts, and they had what Jesus had laid out the apostles. They stayed in the Word. That has not changed. If you want to keep growing and you want to maintain, you have to be students of the Word. You don't have to go to a bunch of church services, but you need to learn, get a Bible you understand, and don't get caught up in bondage. If one is too hard, you don't like the these and thous. I don't use King James. Mine is New King James. Yours may be the Living Bible. It might be the Message. Whatever it's going to take to enhance what's already yours. You have not because you don't know what you got. Once you know what you got, activate it. So you can enjoy the good life. So, they continually. So, look at me, church. So the question is to all of us individually. Are you continually studying the Word? Now, don't answer. And those on Facebook, don't answer, even though I couldn't hear you anyway. They stayed in fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. The Greek word there is koinonia. Do you know what koinonia means? They stayed cemented to God and to a body of believers. Do you know that when you're cemented, you're pretty stuck? My question to you, how cemented are you to believers in your life? Because if you're not, that's one of the areas how we grow, and that's another area how we get cemented. We stay connected to him. There's your cross. To him and to others. The body of Christ. Because we know in part, we prophesy in part. And when somebody in here thinks they got all the parts, they're already in error. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, it says the hand needs the ear needs the eye needs the uncomely parts. You need all the parts if you want to be whole. There are no lone rangers that are going to grow up and be strong in God. You're going to be up and down, depressed and off it and so forth. Some people struggle mightily. My wife has to be challenged too on seasonal depression. The days are shorter. The enemy starts to creep in and try to tell you all this stuff. Thank God she knows how to worship God. Thank God she knows how to, honey, I need you to just encourage. And soon, boom, it darts away and we think, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And if you think you can do it on your own, I'm telling you, you are in error already. You need believers mightily hooked up in your life. And if they step on your toes, you need to say, thank God, I got somebody that's going to tell me the truth to get me to grow up. Amen. Third, they continued to break bread. Look at me, church. Breaking bread, we call it communion. But you know the essence of breaking bread, communion? It is rightly seeing your brothers and sisters. The Bible says, don't take my communion unworthily, but make sure you rightly discern the brothers and sisters. That should be a regular thing. It's not just when we take the wine or the grape juice and the bread. It's a regular thing. Rightfully realizing, Lord, my communion is my fellowship with my fellow man and woman. If you want to stay strong and maintain, you got to be around strong people that will help you maintain, because your Super B six-pack is your walk with the Lord. He wants it to be powerful. He wants you to be strong, and he doesn't want you to live a life that's up and down, and you're never staying on top. The top doesn't mean you feel like you're on the top. The top is, I've got brothers and sisters, and I got a church that's standing in prayer with me, believing for the breakthroughs. And even off and on, I have to give you a nugget, a swat on the britches. My mom and dad never let me off the hook. When I needed a swat, I got it. And my dad's belt came out. I never felt like I didn't deserve it, because I knew I did. I thank God that I got correction as a kid, so that when I grow up, I can see how important it is for us to correct our lives and to maintain what the Lord has already given us. So breaking of bread is a time for us to think of others. You know, church, if you only get caught up in thinking of yourself, it's going to be a short-lived amount of joy. But when you all of a sudden begin to think of others, I mean, Pastor Mike is challenging you that if your heart is here, your treasure should be here. But I'm telling you what, I think you need to fall in love with one another, and you don't fall in love with one another unless you spend time with them. I was enamored with my wife when I fell in love with her in high school. But spending time together, it was harder. No, it was beautiful. And you kept growing. And let me just tell you for reality. She's not a yes ma'am wife. Every time she sees something that she don't like in me, she lets me know. You're the pastor. You need to get better in that way. When I'm seeing challenged people not understand principles, she says, honey, it's not them, it's the spirit behind them. I know, thank you for the reminding. Thank God for strong spouses. And we pray for all you that are widows and don't have, that God will bring, if nothing more, those into your life that will keep you strong and challenged, that you don't get out of spiritual strength. Everything God made, the Bible says, is good for you, or is good, but not everything is good for you. You need others in your life to help sort through some of the stuff that's not good for you and make you stronger. And then the other thing he says, and in praying. Praying is so important. Doesn't mean you have to get in this quiet little place. Now everybody wants to go get in a quiet closet and pray. That was transitional time. Because it says the Father sees and opens, so he knows what's already in your heart. We're in New Testament time, which means you already got the Holy Ghost. So prayer should look like something like, thank you, God, here we go, hallelujah. Oh, my gosh, that car almost got me. Thank you, Jesus. It's giving, let prayers with supplication and thanksgiving be made to all. It's a way of life. It's not some religious ceremony where I got calluses on my knees because I'm on my knees. God bless you if that's how you feel close to the Lord. But he's with you wherever you go. When you go to work, when you go to play, when you're out in the field, he's there. And sometimes he'll even wake you up in the sleep and give you nuggets. What PK said is a challenge to all of you. When's the last time you got excited about just, wow, what's going to happen today? Wow, this is so good. We come in every time she's got this little thing she can turn our station on, and she, oh my gosh, and we're like shouting and scream coming in into church. It's a beautiful thing to be on the same page. Amen. And being an encouragement one to another. Give me some more fanning, honey. And the Bible says this, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were brought by the apostles. Oh, I want miracles. I want signs and wonders. We just got to do what the Lord tells us to do. We already own it. He already gave us everything. We got the whole word inside us. It came with the Holy Ghost. It says, here you go. Now listen, if you don't think this is koinonia, all those that believed, we're filled with believers this morning, were together. Oh my gosh, so it is important to get together. And they had all things in common. They even sold possessions to help one another out. They continued once a year. Those are the special holidays. No, they continued daily, staying in one accord in the church, which back transitioned temple, and they broke bread from house to house. They weren't breaking bread house to house with a bunch of unbelievers. They were breaking bread from house to house with believers. They were in church with believers. They were growing and being encouraged. And listen, they ate their food. They were glad and happy. Verse 47, they continued to praise God and they had favor with all the people. Say all the people. When a man's ways please the Lord, even those that are your enemies get at peace with you. And the Lord added to the church more and more people getting saved. He was pleased. It didn't say he loved them more. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Pleasing is just, mom and dad, when you had your kids, did you, if they did stuff bad, did you hate them? No, you still loved them. But when they did things that you taught them, you kind of smile. That's my boy. That's my girl. It pleased you. We're created in his image and likeness. God wants us to please the Lord because he smiles. You're applying these things I gave you freely, and you're enjoying your life. And he says, wow, my kids, they don't have to wait till they get to heaven. They're having heaven on earth. Amen. This is a body that loves God. Amen. These people are praying, believing. When people are in need, they rush to try to help one another. You can't make that up. You're not guilting people into that. That's because you've fallen in love with one another. And if you haven't, it's because you're not giving of yourself to get to know this beautiful family. Pastor has a tendency when I hasn't seen somebody, I'm on the phone. And I don't think any of you that I've called because I haven't seen you, I don't chew you out. You bad person, you're missing. No, it's how you doing? Missing you, wondering how it's going. That sounds like a mama and a daddy that miss someone they love and looking forward to seeing them when they're back. Amen? Amen? We are so blessed, church, to be filled. We have a lot of people on vacation today, but hopefully they'll tune in because they're part of this family. And I'm praying that God will add to the church more. I believe there are a whole lot of people that don't know what's available. They will not beat up other churches. We stand in agreement to pray for other churches. Amen? But we are looking for a joyful, excited, filled with the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters to get excited with us, even when the times are hard. Amen? So I pray right now, and I lift up this body, but I lift up all those that are viewing today. If you are not full of joy, if you are missing out, I'm challenging you that you took notes or listen again and study the Word. Praise the Lord. Get into a relationship with a healthy body of Christ that will keep you encouraged and will tell you when you're not behaving yourself properly. And I prophesy that not only are we growing up in God, but we're sustaining and maintaining our walk. And all of us in agreement says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, church. Now, I've just bragged on you all, so I want you loving on one another. Greet our visitors. God bless you for coming out and being a part. Go love on people, and we'll see you in the near future. In Jesus' name. Amen.